We are holding on your Dalaram at Aleph, third line. We learned yesterday that we had several different explanations of our Mishnah that where the mayor distinguished between whether a lost, now found shtar has a chrayis nechasim or not, where the mayor said if it has a chrayis nechasim, don't return it, and if it doesn't have a chrayis nechasim, then return it, and the chum said either way you don't. So we had a few possibilities. Is it talking about that the loiva admits that it's a valid shtar? And therefore, though, is the problem maybe that Rav Asi had said, the problem is that in our Mishnah, it's not a shtar hakna, so therefore you, once it's lost already, once it's lost and found, there is a possibility maybe there is something wrong with the shtar after all. Therefore, maybe you have the possibility that somehow, as a one-off, it was written earlier than when the milva actually took place, and therefore you'd be using it to take away from third parties, shalek din. If there's no achrayis nechasim, there's not an issue with that. We had a Abaye's explanation that wouldn't matter because Edim Chasim of Zachim Lo, either way, once the Edim sign it, then the Shibud takes effect. Abaye said the problem is that we're afraid about Piroin and Knunya. What if you already paid off the Shtar and now they're using it to cheat other people out of other people who bought Nechasim out of their property? Then we said that Shmuel was not worried about Piroin and Knunya. Therefore, Shmuel would have to say that our Mishnah is talking about Ein Chayev Moida, that the loiva does not admit this is a valid shtar. He claims it was forged, for example. He claims it was paid off or whatever. And then we brought Rabbi Lazar. The Mishnah doesn't specify. That's the thing. And then we had Rabbi Lazar who said something similar. He said that he said that if Ein Chayev Moida, then Rabbi Meir would say, like Shmuel said, that the shtar is anyway worthless, so there's no problem in returning it. If there's a chayis nechasim, then it's useful, and therefore you can't return it. Whereas the Chachamim hold either way, it's useful. So we brought up, we ended up bringing a braisa that we said contradicted Rabbi Lazar. We said it contradicted him in one thing, even though really it contradicts him in two things, because we said the two things are all, it's kind of as a consequence of one statement, it leads us to another. Because he says that the Mishnah is talking about in chayiv moida, that forces him to say that according to the mayor of Shtar without a chrayis nechasim is worthless. But we said we shlugged him up from the braisa because that's not what it says. So now, through to the Shmuel B'tarki, this braisa also contradicts Shmuel in two ways. Chadak Rav Elazar, one is the same problem as it gave for Rav Elazar, Dram Muki Masnissim Shein Chayiv Moida, because Rav Elazar and Shmuel both explained the Mishnah, our Mishnah, to be talking about Ein Chayiv Moida, that the loiva does not admit it's a valid shtar, he claims it's paid off or forged or what have you. But the braisa clearly said, the machlokas is when Chayiv Moida. The Braith had said that the Afapisha Shnei Moidim, that if there's a Chrayis Nechasim, even if both of them admit, you don't return it to either one. If there's no Chrayis Nechasim, then it depends whether the Loiva is Moida or not. That's what Rameyer says, and the Chachamim say either way you don't. So we're talking about Chayiv Moida. So that contradicts his explanation of the Mishnah. V'chada, and another problem against Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel Mota Shtar Hakna B'Shuk Yachsel Abaylim, because you have a din that Shmuel says that if you find a Shtar Hakna in the street, where we said yesterday, Shtar Akna is where the loiva, the eventual loiva, that is, takes on himself with a kinyan, that he is going to be meshabed his property to the malva, even if he doesn't end up borrowing money, or he borrows it, he's meshabed from now, even though he's only going to borrow at a later date. So Shmuel had said that you can return such a thing to the owner, v'loi chashin al peroin. Evidently, then Shmuel is not concerned about the possibility that it was paid off. But in the Braisa, we're saying that we are concerned about it. It doesn't matter. Bashuk is just another way of saying that it was lost and now found. But the Braisa had said that if you find shtari chayv and there's a chrayis nechasim, then you don't return, and then you don't return, and if there's no chrayis nechasim, then Rameyu says you do, and the Chachamim say you don't. So again, we
say you don't because
they're concerned about peroin, or they're concerned about Knunia, as the case may be. So there's a similar problem. If there's no achrayis, right? Even though there's no achrayis nechasim, the Chachamim said you're able to collect from the chasim b'shabodim even though achrayis is not written in the shtar, which is going to lead us into the matter of achrayis tol sofa, which the Gemara is going to start talking about. But that's what the braisa says. So we have to, yeah. So therefore, that's a contradiction against Shmuel as far as that also. Okay, so we started talking yesterday, why is it, I mean, the same two questions you have on Shmuel, apparently you have on Rebbe Lazar, why is the Gemara distinguishing? We said that maybe that was added by the Talmudim of Rabbi Yehuda Goyen by mistake, but other than that, I mean, there's other explanations. Rabbi Hananel says the difference is that Rav Elazar never said his things as two separate statements. He was all trying to explain the Mishnah. Shmuel made an independent statement. Nothing to do with the Mishnah, nothing to do with anything we were talking about until now, and therefore the Gemara can consider it that it's a separate contradiction to him, that the not only his explanation of the Mishnah has been shlugged up, but also his separate din of Matzah Shtar Akna B'Shuk has been shlugged up. Incidentally, I mean, given that he's been shlugged up, you know, the Rif says in that case, obviously the halacha is not like him. The other Rishonim point out, I don't remember now which one, not necessarily, actually. That's all assuming that we understand Shmuel to be agreeing with Abaya. If we say Shmuel agrees with Rabasi, as we said yesterday, he's not forced to say the Mishnah is talking about Ein Chayev Moida. It doesn't force him into this whole thing that we're talking about. Now, it may well be, I think, the Ramban says the halacha may well not be like Shmuel for other reasons, but not necessarily because we just slogged him up based on this price, because that would only be an upslog if we assume he agrees with Abaya, which isn't necessarily the case. And the halacha is not like Abaya that ate some of his offer anyway. The halacha is like Rav Asi. Okay.
Because it's Rav Asi or because...
No, just because the halacha is like Rav Asi. Okay. Onward. I didn't read the rest of the Gemara. Okay, so number one, Chodor Kervalazo Dramoki must be from Shein Chayev Moida. So he had said our Mishnah is talking about in Chayev Moida, and the Braise says that it's Chayev Moida. He says we're not concerned that it was paid off. The problem with that is Tiyukta. We have a contradiction from the Braisa to Chataniyacha, because the Braisa says, even if both of them agree that it's a valid shtar, you still don't return it to either one, which means we still are concerned about the possibility that it was paid off. And how much more so if you're going to say that if you're going to say the way Shmuel explains our Mishnah that's in Chayev Moida, that the loiva doesn't even agree that it's a valid shtar, all the more so to Chashin LePirayin, we would have to be concerned that it was paid off.
Does it have to be necessarily Chashin LePirayin, or it can be Chashin on anything else?
Well, it depends. I mean, we're saying, you know, when we said that Shmuel wanted to explain that we'd have to explain according to Shmuel Ein Chayev Moida, that we said before that that could mean that he claims that it's a forged shtar. So fine, even if we don't accept that it's forged, it still may well be that it's paid off. Or
it's forged, but it just has to be pirayin?
No, that's the thing. In other words, so there's the possibility that it's forged, or even if we say, fine, we'll discount that. Let's say, for example, fine, we're mekayim, and we find it's not forged. Okay, you know, we have the point that Tosfos made yesterday that it could have been so expertly forged that even kiyum won't help, but let's say we discount that. Still, you have the concern of pirayin. And all the more, if the loiva himself is claiming pirayin, then also you have that potential problem. Yeah. Okay. So that the bottom line is then that the Braisa contradicts Shmuel. At least again, if we understand Shmuel, to be agreeing with Abaya, if we say that Shmuel agrees with Rav Asi that Shtari Akna are a separate category, then it's not such a problem. Okay. Amar Shmuel, my time is the Rabbanon. So what is the reason of the Rabbanon in the Mishnah and in the Braisa? Why are they specifically in the Braisa, actually, where they're saying that Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh, regardless what kind of shtar, whether there is Achrayus written in it or there is not Achrayus written in it, either way you can collect from the Chasim Shabbatim. Why is that? Savri, because they hold Achrayus Toas Sofer. They hold Achrayus, if it's not written in the shtar, is just a mistake by the Sofer. Nobody would lend out money without a chrayus nechassim. It would be like throwing away your money. Therefore, therefore, even though it's not written in the shtar, it's as if it was written. Tosfos, by the way, points out, not necessarily did Shmuel know the Braisa. We just saw, we slogged him up from it. If he had known the Braisa, he wouldn't have said his position in the first place, or at least he would have clarified that he doesn't hold like a buyer. But so not necessarily did he know the Braisa, but based on his own svara, he figured out that the Chachamim would hold that if you're gonna hold like Reb Meir that the shtar is worthless for Mishabadim or Bnei Chorin, then fine. Once you say it's worth, it can be used for something, then it's useful for something for Bnei Chorin, it has to be useful for Mishabadim as well. You can't have a shtar that's useful for one and not the other.
Why?
Because if you're going to say Achrayus is not Toas Sofer, Tosfos explains that you would say like this: look, normally a milva comes with a shibud. If you're going to say that achrayus is not toa sofa, meaning fine, the guy was willing to overlook the achrayus, he might as well be moichel on the keren as well. And they kind of go hand in hand. And what's he going to expect to get paid from? Like Rashi says over here, you're basically then throwing away your money. You may not have anything to collect from later on. So therefore, the logic is that the Chachamim are going to say, you can't have it by halves. If you can't collect from the Shabbatim, you can't collect from B'nai Chorin either. So, and since they don't hold that way, they disagree with the mayor, then therefore necessarily they have to hold that you hold it in both cases. So again, even if Shmuel didn't know the B'naisa, he realized in the Svara that must be what the Chachamim hold. You're telling me that Shmuel said this, that Achrayus is Toas Sofer? But Shmuel says that if you're selling a field to somebody else, the Sofer, when he writes the Shtar for the sale of a field, has to check with the seller if he wants in their Shvach, Shvar, and Shibud. They're actually, the Gemara is listing them out of order, really, but Shibud is exactly what it sounds like, a Shibud, meaning, in other words, basically Achrayus, a guarantee that I'm selling you this field, but if it turns out my Baal Chayv takes it away from you, or what have you, then I will reimburse you for it. Shvach is that I will also pay you for the Shvach, that you improve the field, you put in work into it, you fertilize it, or whatever. We'll start talking about Shvach on Amud Beis.
If I have to
reimburse you, then I'll reimburse you not only for the field, but also for the Shvach that you put into it. And that I will do all of that out of Shvar, out of Idis. Shvar means the best.
Oh.
That person is able to take on such a thing. But all those three things, those aren't necessarily a given in a Shtar Mecher. And therefore, Shmuel says the sofer has to check with the seller first if he wants to include those clauses.
It's only about when you're selling the field.
Well, this is what we're talking about, yeah. Okay. So therefore, what kind of achrayus to a sofer? If it's not written in the shtar, it means obviously the sofer asked the guy, and he said, no, take it out.
So they cannot be toast.
The answer is, so lema manda omaholo omaho. So does that mean maybe that whoever said the one statement in the name of Shmuel is not the same Amora who said the other statement? You know, Shmuel had lots of Talmidim. Maybe some of his Talmidim understood him to be saying Achrayus Tos Sefer, and others of his Talmidim learned this din about Shvach Shvar, about Shvach Shvar and Shibud. I'll try to say that fast.
Mutually exclusive.
Yeah, mutually exclusive, it sounds like, yeah. The answer is Holei Kasha, no, because that's not such a big Kasha. Kan v'shtar hava, because one in the case about Achrayus Tos Sefer is talking about when it's an IOU, when you're lending money. People don't give out money for nothing. When a person is lending money, he wants some kind of guarantee that he's going to be able to get his money back. Therefore, means for nothing. Yet. So therefore, it must be that even if he didn't put in achrayus, it's assumed that it's there because no sensible person would lend out money without there being achrayus. Otherwise, that's what we're saying. In other words, that's exactly what Shmuel was saying. What is the reason of the Chachamim? Why they say that such a shtar can be used to collect from both? Because the person is not going to throw away his money for nothing. He won't do it only based on the Talpilin, because again, the Talpilin can be spent, they can be hidden, they can be ruined, etc. Karka is always there.
Any shtar halva. Yeah, halva.
Yeah. We have talked about before, by the way, what's brought in Geras of Shuvah Goyin and in the Rambam in a number of places, that there's some of the early Goyinim made a takana that a shibud can be chal on the Talpilin as well, because there came a point when most people didn't own karka anymore. But anyway,
if you say that any shtar, nobody would lend money without a chayit, you can say the same thing about a get. No woman would get married without a chayit if she's going to get a ksuva.
No, and you have to get a ksuva. So what's the problem?
There has to be a chayit in a get.
No, you don't have to write it out. The Chachamim made a takana that when a man marries a woman, he has to, so we learned this in ksuva. There has to be 100 for an almon or 200 for a psula, and that's that. There's no specific tnai is needed because it's tnai based.
But is there a chayus in this? Is it considered a chayus?
I mean, it's a husband. You know, what is he writing?
Can take the husband's...
What are we writing in the ksuba? You're writing in the ksuba. That's, I'm a shabbat myself. I feel, and then my heirs after me. I feel the glimmer of the arkasfoy, even if I'm the shirt off my back. Yeah, yeah.
So what is that?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So that's talking about a halva. Tan mecha homemker, as opposed to the second case about shvach, 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 shibur, it's talking about buying and selling. Fine. There it's not a given that there's going to be achrayus. The Ovid Inish, the Zav and Aral Yoyme, it can happen that a person buys land where it'll only be for a temporary thing. Literally means for one day. It can happen. A person will buy a field. There's a suffix. Okay, I may only end up hanging on to it for one day. First of all, they may not take it away from me. It's always it's not necessarily a given that his Baal HaKhoyevus are going to end up taking it away from me. They may not. He might pay off the loan first. There might be other people he might take away from, etc. Second of all, you have Peiris that you can get in between. Meanwhile, I own the field. I can grow Peiris in it and eat them. So therefore, it's worthwhile to buy it for a period of time for that. Not necessarily, therefore, does he expect to have a chrayus included in there where he's going to get reimbursed for the actual full value of the karka, never mind the shvach and whatnot. And therefore, yes, we don't have to assume that a chrayus is a given in a shtana. Yeah, because even if the malva, we're going to talk about later on in the Soviet in the next couple of blocks, that even if the malva ends up taking away a field from him, nevertheless, the peiris that he grew and ate up until that point still belong to him. We'll talk on a bit about shvach versus peiris. We'll get into that way. Okay. Ki hahi da'avuha ba'ihi zovin ilisa me'achse, as in fact we have a case. Avuha ba'ihi, that was his name, bought a second floor of a house from his sister. Also, Baal Choyev tied for Mine, and a Baal Choyev of his sister came and took it away from him to pay off the debt, Karka. Also, the Kamei de Mar Shmuel, so he came to Shmuel for a Din Torah. Can I ask my sister to reimburse me for it? Amalei to Shmuel asked him, Kosel l'chachrayus, did she write a chrayus in the shtar when she sold you the apartment? Amalei, he says, he says, no. Right? He didn't. She didn't. Amalei, so Shmuel tells him, okay, Zil l'shlam, fine, then go gizot dehei. You got no case of it here.
So that's...
Wait, Amalei, so he says to him, v'hamaru d'amar achrayis tov sefer, you yourself have said that achrayis is tov sefer. Amalei, and Shmuel tells him explicitly what we just explained before in the Gemara, that Hani Mila Bishtori Halva, that this din of mine about Achrayas Tala Soker is only by Shtori Halva, Abishtori Mechachamemka Loi, but not by Mechachamemka, the Avadinish Dezoven Arali Yemit. Good. When you bought it, you should have taken into consideration that you want Achrayas. If you didn't, then fine, it can be assumed that you just wanted for the time being, you'll have the apartment, you know, the payers of it or whatever, not necessarily that you expected to have the.
It was not a Shtarva.
It wasn't a Shtarva, so yeah.
Too bad. Would have known the deen,
and the shtar was the shtar saying that she lent money
to make. No, this is a shtar. This is a mechachamemka. This she sold him the apartment,
right? And that's
and now we're saying her Baal HaKhoyevus took it away from him to pay off her debt. So we're saying he can't go back on her and demand a refund for it, to demand reimbursement for it because he didn't take a chrayus.
There's no payers.
There could be payers if he had rented it out. But yeah, I mean
he has to walk off. He has to be the place now.
Well, yeah, okay, but Transfus, by the way, talks about what about a third possibility you can have. You know, when we say we're talking about Mechachomemka, there's two reasons that the Gemara is going to start talking about pretty soon. There's two reasons why a field at that point might end up being taken away from the Lekeach. One is because of Baal Choyev. The other is because the original seller was a Gazlan. It wasn't really his field in the first place. Now, so by Baal Choyev, we're saying that fine, you know, since the Baal Choyev is only taking the future, the field and all of its payers for the future, you had payers up until this point, so fine, you know, you enjoyed that, therefore you're not entitled to a reimbursement unless there's a chrayus. Halva was saying, fine, a person doesn't give away his money for nothing, therefore halva is implicit, therefore a chrayus is implicit. What about, for example, it's a Mechachomemker, no Achrayus was written, but it wasn't taken away from him because of Baal Choyev, but rather because the original seller is the one who stole it from somebody else. What's the din then?
Well, if the
Tosfos says, in that case, even without Achrayus, then you are able to demand reimbursement from the Gazlan. Because Tosfos says, in that case, it's not really, as we're going to talk about, the Gemara itself is going to talk about this on Amud Beis, but a similar case. In that case, it's not really a sale at all. Effectively, it's a loan. The field never belonged to the Gazlan in the first place. So by what right is he selling it? Effectively, it's just you lent him money, and now he has to pay it back to you.
And let's say there's like an Achrayus. Can you go to Metalton?
Metalton are never under Achrayus anyway. No, that's the point. In other words, if there was no Achrayus... No, also not. No achrayus means no achrayus. I mean that's like Shmuel tells him, zil zil l'shlama, gigel to hate. You're
yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Omer Abaya, since we're talking about achrayus, Reuven shemacha sod l'shimon b'achrayus. If Reuven sells a field to Shimon with achrayus, so again, that's if the field is taken away from Shimon, then he'll reimburse him, correct? And now Reuven's Balchov comes and takes away the field from Shimon. Dinahu, the din is, we learned this by the way, both in Ksubas and in Bava Kama, so we've had this din already. Dinahu, the other Reuven, Mishtoi Dinabade. The din is that Reuven is able to go and start a din Torah against this Balchov. Veloy Matsi, to argue against him, for example, Rashi says whatever argument he could use. He could claim, for example, that I previously paid you back. Remember, it was the Balchov that Reuven previously borrowed money from. I already paid you back, or I have a counter argument against you. You owe me money from some previous time. So Sitroi, as we learned about in Subas, so therefore I'm holding this, therefore I'm holding back this to pay off that. So whatever taina he could use, he's able to. And this Baal Chayv, Levi, is not able to tell Reuven, I have nothing to do with you. I took the field away from Shimon. Shimon can take me to Beis Din. Where I have you're not an interested party, and you're not an interested party in this. He can't say that to Amalei, because Reuven can tell him, I am an interested party. If you take the field away from me, it's going to bounce back right to me, because he's going to come to me and demand to be paid for the achrayus. Ikadamri, others say, afilu shaloi b'achrayus nami, that this din would hold true even if Reuven sold it without achrayus. He'd still have standing to go sue Levi and Beis Din to try and claim that the debt was paid off or what have you, and that he shouldn't take the field from Shimon. D'amale, because the argument is that then Reuven can say, lo nichali de lehev l'shimon taruma salai. I don't want that Shimon should have complaints, that should be bad blood between me and Shimon. So therefore, even not so fine. I won't be out any money, but still, I'll lose my good name with Shimon. A couple of things here, by the way. When we say that the other Reuven of Ishtoi Dinabade, most Rishonim explain that it means that Reuven can go to Beis Din if he wants to. He's not obligated to, but if he wants to save the situation for Shimon, then he's able to. He has standing. The Rif explains it means he's actually obligated to. That he is, because if he has a valid claim that he's able to make against Levi to show that the debt was paid off or what have you, then he's obligated. Well, that's the point. In other words, we're not talking about Stam to go to Beis Din without a claim. We're talking about if he has some kind of claim that he's able to bring, then the Rif would say he's obligated to in order to save the situation for Shimon, in order to keep the field from being taken away by Shimon. Yeah. Then there's also Tosfos has quite a bit of discussion over here about what's the difference? Well, you're saying that Reuven has standing to take Levi to Beis Din, and if he didn't, whatever Reuven can claim, Shimon can claim. So fine, Reuven can claim the debt was paid off. For example, Shimon can also claim that I have reliable and I have aid him, let's say, or whatever, you know, that the debt was paid off. What's the difference? Who actually comes to Beis Din?
Reuven knows better.
So that's Tosfos gives a bunch of answers.
Reuven
knows better. Yeah, Tosfos gives a bunch of answers. Yeah, you can have one of them. One of them is that, for example, Reuven might be a better arguer in Beis Din. So therefore, you want him to be able to have standing to be able to, yeah.
Better arguer.
It might be, for example, another one that Tosfos brings is, for example, let's say Shimon says, fine, I don't have any aidim, I don't have any proofs, I give up. Beis Din will say, okay, well then in that case, you don't have a case. And even if afterwards he comes with aidim or proof, Beis Din will tell him, too bad, yeah, you should have known at the time. On the other hand, Reuven can still come with those same aidim or those same proofs, so therefore it helps that Reuven has standing to take
it.
No, not really. It doesn't matter, really. It's not Reuven and Shimon can't be aided on it anyway. But the point is, even though Shimon maybe has lost his opportunity, Reuven still has that opportunity. That's the point. Also, Tosfos brings other cases. You can have, for example, Adim that are related to Reuven but not related to Shimon, or vice versa. So then it helps for one. Yeah, Reuven and Shimon don't have to be relatives.
They don't have to be relatives, but okay.
Yeah. Tosfos says that, for example, then let's say, for example, Shimon has Adim who are relatives of his, so they're possible to give Adus on behalf of him. They're not relatives of Reuven. So good, then Reuven is so if the field ends up staying by Shimon, then if the field ends up staying by Shimon, then fine, you know, okay, then good. Their aegis is not helping Reuben anyway, it's helping Shimon, and therefore we're good. Okay, so there's a lot of different things like that. One more thing Tosfos says is, let's say, for example, Levi knows full well the debt is paid off. So if Reuben comes to Beis Din and says it's paid off, Levi may not have the chutzpah for contradicting. But if Shimon comes and says, I have information that says it's paid off, he might. The Ran talks about another detail, by the way, which is, we can also be talking about, he says, that this field specifically was originally designated as an aposiki. It was designated, this field is the particular one that's going to be used to pay off the debt. Therefore, so we can't say, for example, Reuben would say, okay, you know, instead of going and collecting from Shimon, collect from my nechassim, let's say, because it's an aposiki. Shimon himself could pay me off if he wants to. You don't necessarily have standing to do that.
Does it mean they specifically say wrote?
It means they wrote specifically this field will be the one that's used to pay it off. Yeah.
So what difference does it make?
So that's the point, in other words. So therefore, it also makes a difference whether Reuben or Shimon can come to base and what kind of claims they can make.
They write in the aposiki who's going to...
No, they write in the aposiki that this particular field is designated to pay off the loan. Therefore, for example, Reuben wouldn't have the ability to go and say, well, leave it by Shimon and I'll pay you off for it so that you don't take it away from him because it's an aposiki. I have a right to take it from him. Shimon himself would have the ability.
This guy who comes and buys knows about this, doesn't necessarily know about the aposiki.
Well, if there's a shtar, he knows about it anyway. But he's a Baal Choyv anyway. He's a Baal Choyv. With a Milva B'Shtar, he himself, when he borrowed the money, when he lent the money, rather, everybody knows, he and Reuben, who were the two principals over there, both know that the field was designated as an Aposiki. Adarav, when Shimon comes and buys it, he's the one who's going to have to know, well, the B'Shtar has a Choyv, as usual, but he's the one who's going to have to know that there was an Aposiki. Ba'omer Abayah. Reuben Shemacha Sadal Shimon Shalai Bachrayus. If Reuben sold a field to Shimon without Achrayus, the Yotzwala Asikin and Asikin came out against it. So Rashi and Tosfos both say that Asikin means Oirin, people who are objecting, this field is not yours. We claim that it belonged to us and you stole it from us. The most of that is. So Ad Shalai Hesifa, before Shimon has made a chazaka on it, he's able to go back on it. He's able to renege on the deal, and meaning, in other words, Rashi says we're talking about he hasn't paid yet. So, he hasn't paid yet, therefore he's potter from paying the money, and the field goes back to Reuben, and Reuben will have to go deal with these Urim and Beis Din. Once he made a chazak on it, he's not able to change his mind, because at that point, Rashi says he's already made a kinyan on the field with chazak.
But before he did it, he checked out to see if there's a toy buying a field.
He should have checked, but he didn't. And that's he didn't. And on top of that, he bought a toy buying right. Yeah.
Oh. So what do you mean, Mochar? He didn't pay money. He didn't do chazak. He didn't do anything. So what happened?
So the Mochar, according to that, would be, in other words, that they
just...
Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos explains also they did Kenyan Khalif in order to buy the karka. And Tosfos explained the situation a little bit differently. We'll get to that in a minute.
But can you buy karka? Yes. You buy your shtar, can't you?
Yes. Okay. The ketzef shtar b'chazaka. But, so, yeah. Ketzef shtar b'chazaka, right. So they made a kinyan, such as chalifin. So wait, Tosfos is going to explain the chazaka over here is not to make the kinyan. We'll talk about it in a minute, what Tosfos says. But you're asking, according to Rashi, what does it mean that mochar, if there's no money and no chazaka? Rashi does not learn over here Rashi does learn over here that the chazaka is actually the coin of the character. There was a shtar, let's say, already. So there was a shtar, that's one of the valid ways of buying character. But there wasn't yet kesef and there wasn't yet chazaka.
They give him the shtar.
So let's say,
Can him the shtar without money?
Yeah. That's a valid way of buying character.
His money is
right. Exactly.
But it doesn't have to be necessarily. You can give him the shtar, and the money will be a choy. For that matter, you can also have, as Rashi says over here, the karka can be nikta b'chazaka, that you just did chazaka, and the money will be a choy. I'll pay you later. But here, he bought it, shaloi b'achrayis, and now there's Orin. To Amalei, now Reuben is able to tell him, chayse de kitri savras v'kablos. you thought that you were receiving a bag full of knots, like you know, you bought something where you don't know what's inside. Is there anything worthwhile in there or not? But you thought that, but kiblos, and sure enough, you got that. You open it up and you find this pack of nothing in there.
How can you buy with a shtar without exchange of money and not ask chayes? I mean, it does make
no. I myself am going to start using the character now. I'll pay you later. Okay, he bought it shalai bachrayes. He didn't think that a possibility would be over. I don't know. Whatever, such things can happen. Wait,
good for the price. You do.
Yeah. Okay. At what point is it considered a chazaka? Mikidayish ametri, when he tramples on the borders. Now Rashi explains the opposite of what you think it means. That it means faker, that he tramples around the borders like this. The borders of a field are usually heaped up dirt.
Right.
It's usually heaped up dirt all around. Right. So Rashi explains dosh means that he steps like around them in order to strengthen them and tamp down the dirt to make them firmer or whatever. So that's a valid chazaka on the field. There's other explanations. The Rambam and also the Rashbam and Rava Basra explain that it means faker, to trample it down. Like I have a field adjacent to it, and now I'm going to make them into one big field. So I trample down that barrier to make it that it'll be smooth in between. Okay. Tosfos has a whole different explanation of all this, because Tosfos has a number of problems with Rashi's explanation. Among others, first of all, if they didn't give money, then like you asked, there's no mecher here yet. All there is on the face of it, apparently Tosfos doesn't want to take the idea that I was saying that there's a shtar. So if there's just a verbal agreement, of course, that's not a problem. I mean, at most, you have, Tosfos says even Mishapara, there isn't even a problem with Mishapara, as we'll learn, which we'll talk about later in the fourth parak. So, Tosfos is going to explain, Kenyan Khalifin, wait a second. And if they did pay money already, then Taka Nikna Bekesef, whatever. Also, another one of Tosfos's problems is why does the Gemara all of a sudden ask what's a chazaka on a field? We know from a Mishnah in Bava Basra, what's a chazaka on a field? No, God or Parah. What are we bringing in over here, this idea of Daish Hametsu? So therefore, Tosfos has a whole different explanation. That we're talking about, he made a real kinyan on it. For example, Tosfos says Khalif. He didn't yet pay the money. But even after he made the Khalifin, because he didn't pay yet, he didn't yet have full smichus das. He didn't yet mentally decide that I'm 100% buying this field. He has to first walk around the borders to see, okay, let's see what the field is like, what does it need, etc. Once he does that, then ain't yochalachsabai. But if it was Bachrayos, he didn't pay money yet, he'd be able to change his mind. Except the Gemara is going to bring another opinion that even if Bachrayos, he can. But so far, according to the first statement of Abaya, that if it was Shaloi Bachrayos, since it was Shaloi Bachrayos, then once he's Daish HaMetzvi, once he walked around to see, okay, he liked what he saw, that's it. Now he can't reverse it. Then there's another version. I feel about Achrayus Nami, that this din would even apply if he bought it with Achrayus. So it's true now with Achrayus, if it ends up being taken away by the Orin, if the Orin's claim is valid, they're going to end up taking the field. And it's going to be different than the case of a Baal Chayv before. It was never really a valid sale in the first place, because they're going to argue the guy stole it or what have you. So therefore, with Achrayus, he is going to be able to go back and get reimbursed for it. He still can't say, Rashi says, well, look, you know, eventually you're going to end up reimbursing me for it anyway. I may as well hold on to the money now. He can't do that according to this explanation, according to this version, because the seller can tell him, look, achmi tirpa b'ashalma. Fine, when you show me your tirpa, when you show me the shtar that based in rights that entitles those people to take the field away from you, then I'll pay you. Meanwhile, they're ordering. Fine, you know, they're talking, they're claiming that their field is theirs. Let them bring proofs. Let Beis Din decide the case. Then I'll deal with it. Then I don't have to allow you to back out of the deal just because there's ordering now. There's ordering. Fine, let there be ordering. We'll see what happens once the case is decided. Itmar. If a person sells a field to somebody else and it turns out that it's not his, that he stole it, Rav Omer, so now obviously the nigzel, the one it was stolen from, is going to be taking it away from the buyer, and the buyer in turn is going to be going back to the gazlan to get reimbursed. What is he able to get reimbursed for? Rav Omer yesh le'moed to yesh le'shvat. Rav says he's able to collect from the seller, from this gazlan, the actual money that he paid for the karka, as well as the shvach. For example, Rashi says he fertilized it, he put up a fence, whatever. So he's able to collect that shvach from the gazlan. Now Rashi asks the question: given that the field with these improvements is going back to the nigzel, why don't we say that the nigzel should be the one to pay for those? Why shouldn't we say, for example, the original field was worth 100, now with the improvements it's 120? Why don't we say that the buyer is able to collect 100 from the gazlan and 20 from the and 20 from the nigzel? So the nigzel has a field that's now worth 20 more than it was before. So Rashi says we have to be talking about a case where the nigzel, the lakeach improved it, yes. But before he improved it, while it was still in the gazlan's hand, it deteriorated. So it started out at 100. While it was in the gazlan's hand, it went down to 80.
And then he went up to
80. And then he added fertilizer or fences or what have you, and it went back up to 100. So there's no more.
Then he went back to 120.
So then you would be able to collect that from the nigzel. That was Rashi seems to be implying. But like this, all you can collect is the whole 100. But in that case, you can't say that the gazlan should pay only 80 when he stole it was worth 100. And you learned in Bava Kama, Kola Gazlan and Masham Kshasai Zela. Therefore, he's got to pay the full 100. Tosfos and many other Mefoshim have a different explanation that we're dealing with over here. We talked about this concept a lot towards the end of Bava Kama, that sometimes you have this shvach and this yitzia. There's we talked over there at some length about what shvach is and what yitzia is. Is it the normal expenses that you put into something versus how much it's expected to go up in value because of it or whatever? So you can have a case. Tosfos brings a case. Yodid l'sof sdei chaveder shalai v'rashus. If somebody goes into somebody else's field without permission and improves it, the din is that he's entitled to the lesser of the shvach and the yitzia. So here Tosfos says that's what we're talking about here. The lesser of the shvach or the yitzia. To keep things simple, let's say that the yitzia was 10, the shvach now is 20. We learned about a comma in connection with the rule over there that was dyed the wrong color. We had a long discussion over there between Rashi and Tosfos what exactly shvach and yitzia are. But let's say for our purposes, let's say that the yitzia is the actual amount of raw materials that you put into the expenses of improving it, and shvach is the total increase in value. So you put in, let's say, $10 worth of fertilizer. Now, because of that, the field is worth $20 more. So we're saying he'd be entitled to only 10. He'd be entitled to only 10. So fine. The ten he'll get from the nigzel, because it's shaloi v'rashus.
You don't penalize it in the fact that he had nothing to do with that. I mean, shouldn't have done that to begin with.
No, well the lakeach, when he bought the field, didn't know it was stolen. He bought a field. He didn't know it was stolen.
It's
the equivalent of going into somebody else's field without permission and improving it. The fact of the matter is the guy is benefiting from the improvement. Therefore, you do have to pay him the lesser of the shvach or the yitzia, as the case may be. Yes.
But the fact of the matter, he didn't have the right to go
there. He may not have had the right. But the fact is that afterwards, the guy is going to have benefit from it. So therefore, he has to pay him that.
So
anything more than that, any shvach more than that, yes, he'll get from the gazlan. That's how Tosfos explained it. Okay. Anyway, all that is pointed out. Well, Shmuel, I'm a moit yeshlo shvach emoi. Where Shmuel says he only has the actual value of the karka, not the shvach. Not the nigzel. The nigzel is going to get back the actual field. We're talking about the lakeach. We've got three parties over here. Right. We've got the nigzel, we've got the gazlan, and the gazlan turned around and sold the field to somebody else. That somebody else. That lakeach is who we're talking about. According to Shmuel, he's only entitled to get reimbursed by the gazlan who sold him the field for the actual value that he paid for the karka, not for any improvements. Okay. Not really penalizing. We'll see in a second. Wait. So they asked Ravuna, what if he explicitly said, what if the gazlan, when he sold him the field, explicitly said, like we learned on Amar Aleph, if they take this field away from you, I will reimburse you for the shvach as well. Well, then what's the deal? Do we say time to Shmuel Mishum like Peter Shvacha? Do we say Shmuel's reason why you can't normally collect it is because it wasn't specified? Well, the ha ha Peter Shvacha, he did specify it, so you're entitled. A Duma, time to Shmuel, or maybe Shmuel's reason is something else. Kiven to less like Kavka, since in fact he does not have the Kavka, because the Kavka never belonged to the seller in the first place, it was stolen. Therefore, it's not a sale at all, it's effectively a loan. Schama Oisav, Oimid Venoitel. Effectively, the guy is just going to be getting. I skipped the line, sorry. Mechtiki Ribis, then it seems like Ribis. It seems like Ribis. You lent him X amount. You're going to be collecting X plus some amount. It's not real Ribis, fine, but at least it seems like Ribis. So that was the question to the woman.
I feel bad for the guy. We don't want him to be a bad guy.
No, the fact is you're not allowed to pay Ribis and you're not allowed to collect Ribis.
Yeah, but you actually did something. You looked in the field.
Even with the guy.
So Ravuna answered Ain Velav, yes and no. Rafi Biyode, it was like weak and it was hesitant about it. Is it yes or is it no? He wasn't sure. Okay. Well, Itmar, so then they further said, Amr Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel.
He wasn't sure
because Taka you have those two things against those. On the one hand it was specified, so maybe that's different. On the other hand, if you have the Ribis issue, maybe not. Itmar, so now they said it further, Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel, that Rav Nachman, who was from the same generation as Rav Huna, said, Amr Shmuel said, Mois yesh le shvach emoz. That he gets Mois, he does not get shvach. Afo fi shepirish le shvach. So this that Rav Huna wasn't sure about, Rav Nachman is sure about, that even if he explicitly said the shvach, then nothing doing. My timer, kibin de karka emoz, because since there's no karka, schar ma'oiz of oimid v'noito, effectively, it's like he's getting extra money because he lent this person money, and therefore he'd be getting back the shvach. It would be like this. Eisei Rav Lo Rabbi. We'll see. We'll go further on. We'll see. Okay. Eisei Rav Lo Rabbi Nachman. So Rava asked on Rav Nachman, how can you tell me that you're not able to collect the shvach? We learned in a Mishnah in Gittin, Ein Metzian Lachilas Peres of a Shvach Kakoyes of a Mazina Isha Vabonis from the Chosim Mishabadim. You're not able to collect any of these following things from the Chosim Mishabadim for eating of Peres, which we'll explain soon what that's talking about, or for the improvement of Karka, or for feeding a person's wife or daughters, the Tznoi Ksuba that we learned about in Ksubas, that a person, part of the Tznoi Ksuba is that his widow, if he dies first, his wife, his widow, will be able to continue living in the house and be supported out of his estate, and that his daughters with her will be supported until they get married. You can't take any of that Menachos Mishabotim, a Tikkun Olam, because when it comes to a regular halva, you know how much was borrowed. So therefore, you know to look out. When I'm buying a field from you, I will know. I'll know based on the koil that a shtar has how many outstanding debts you have, and therefore I can figure out. I can do a risk assessment and figure out how likely are they to take away this karka from me versus to take away b'nei chorin from you. But all these things, peiros and shvach kakos and mozen ishvabonos, there's no specific limit to them. So therefore, if you're going to allow the person to take from the chosim ishvabadim, nobody's going to want to buy fields. So there's too much risk involved. Now, the implication: So Robert continues. The Mishnah is saying you can't take from ishvabadim, implying for any of these things you can collect from bnei chorin. Now the katani mila shvach kakos. Now one of the things in the Mishnah was shvach kakos. My lav v'lakeach migazlan. Shouldn't we assume then that the Mishnah is talking about the exact case that we're talking about? You bought a field from a gazlan. You added improvements to it. It got taken away by the nigzol. You're saying that it seems if we're talking about you're able to collect shvach kakois. So okay, you can't collect from the chasim b'shabadim, but you can collect them from the chasim b'nei chorin of the gazlan. So it sounds like you can collect shvach. What are you telling me? You can't collect shvach because it would be like this.
You can collect shvach from the gazlan.
It sounds like if we assume the Mishnah is talking about a case where you bought a field from somebody who turned out to be a gazlan, and now you need to get reimbursed by him, and the Mishnah is mentioning that you can't collect shvach kapoy from nechos mishabodim, but you can collect them from bnei chorin. Well, there you go. You can collect them. Whereas Rav Nachman is saying you can't because of ribis. The answer is loy, the Baal Chayv. No, you could say that it's talking about the Baal Chayv took it. Now, a Bar Chayv definitely, the difference is, again, as we said on Amud Aleph, the difference is when a Bar Chayv takes karka away, it did belong to you up until this point. It belonged to the original seller. It belonged to you. It was a valid sale. Now the Bar Chayv is preempting it because of its shibud. Fine. So he takes it from now on. He prepares it from now on, etc. But everything that happened until now was still yours. Therefore, the shvach, the hitzayis that you put into it and the shvach that resulted was yours. Therefore, you're entitled to get reimbursed for that from the original seller, provided it was written in the shtar, as we said on Amud Aleph. But when it comes to a gazlan, the field was never yours in the first place. It was never a valid sale in the first place. So therefore, so that's different. Then you can't say then. So the difference is, in other words, when it's talking about regular metachol memker, and then a Bar Chayv takes it away, it's not a problem of rivis because he sold you a field. Now it got taken away. You're getting reimbursed for what you paid. So, yeah, meanwhile, you have the use of the field. There's no rivis involved. Here, the field was never really yours to have any valid use of it. Therefore, it's more like rivis. So, okay, the Mishnah and Gittin is talking about a Bar Chayv taken away. No problem.
The fact that you had a legitimate kinyan when this
takes away the problem.
Takes away the problem of rivis.
Yes. Question is, fine, but if you're talking about a Bar Chayv taking away the field, what about the previous part of the Mishnah mentioned Achilas Peiris? The Iba Bar Chayv. Now, if you're talking about a Bar Chayv taking away the field, Bar Chayv mi'is le Peiris. Does a Bar Chayv b'chlau collect Peiris in the first place? Well, you're not going to have, if the Mishnah is talking about Achilas Peiris, talking about when a Bar Chayv takes it, and then Shvach Karkois is going to tell you, that Achilas Peiris is going to talk about when a Gazlan, when a Nigzal takes it back, and Shvach Karkois is going to talk about when a Bar Chayv takes it back. There's no reason to assume that they'd be two completely different cases like that. So a Bar Chayv, there's no Peiris, V'amashmul, Bar Chayv goyves a Shvach. Shmuel says that a Bar Chayv is able to collect the Shvach, so he takes the field as it is with all the improvements, but implying Shvach Ein Aval Peiris Loi. So he gets the Shvach, he does not get the Peiris.
If he takes the Shvach?
The Bar Chayv, when he takes the field, he's saying, in other words, I lent you $100, you didn't pay it back, therefore I'm going after the people who bought fields from you. So he finds a field that originally was sold for $80, let's say, and the guy put in improvements and now is worth $100. He takes that. He takes the whole thing, field and Shvach.
What happens if the field was worth $100 and he improved it to $120?
Then he won't take the whole field. Then he'll only take $100 worth of it. Well, I think we'll get to that. I think we'll get to that later on, as well, to Zion or so, yeah. So he gets Shvach Aval Peiris Loi, but he's not entitled to collect from Peiris. What we mean, by the way, what the distinction is between Shvach and Peiris is a few different approaches among the Rishonim. Is it that Peiris is talking about where they're fully grown and are ready to be harvested? They don't need to be attached to the ground anymore. Or are we talking about even ones that are not fully mature yet? They still need the ground for a little while. They're close to being harvested, but not quite yet. Or are we talking about any kind of Peiris? Or are we talking about maybe only Peiris that are harvested? Maybe as long as they're still attached to the ground, they're still considered part of the karka. Only once they're harvested, are we talking about them as a separate thing, Peiris? That's three different opinions among the Rishonim. Anyway. Evidently, we must be talking about a case of a gazlan and a nigzel. So Rashi says, let's say we have two possibilities. First of all, he might have stolen it with peiris already in it and then sold it. Or it might be he sold it when there were no peiris growing yet. Sold it to somebody else. Peiris developed in it. And now the nigzel is coming to get it back and saying, well, the peiris belonged to me also because it's my land. Again, remember by Bar Chayv, he can't say that. It wasn't his land until now. He just had a shibud on it. The nigzel really was his land. So he is entitled to the peiris. So therefore, achilas peiris must be talking about a case of goes of a nigzel. Or midirash of a goes of a nigzel, sefer nami of a goes of a nigzel. So on the face of it, if achilas peiris is talking about a case of gzela, then shvach kakoris must also be. So therefore, shvach kakoris, you're able to collect from a gazlan. Not like you're saying that it's ribis.
If he's talking about Peiris, you automatically have to
imply... It can't be a Bar Chayv. Because Peiris don't apply in the case of a Bar Chayv.
Right.
Therefore, Peiris must be talking about Gozel and Nigzel. Presumably, therefore, Shvach Kakoris must also be... We assume that the Mishnah is talking about... However, the Gemara answers right back. Yeah. What the... So, who says? Who says Hockadees? So Hockadees. So fine. Each case is taken in its own on its own merits. One is talking about a case of Gozel and Niggs, or the other is talking about a case of Bachoga. The problem is Vahole Tony Hoffi. No, because we have a Braisa that says not like that. L'shvach kakois case. That a Braisa says, what does it mean? What does it mean collecting shvach of kak? Vahareish Gozel stole the Suppose a person stole a field from somebody else. Vahareish Yotze Mekachas Yodei, and now it's in his possession. Yotze Mekachas Yodei doesn't mean since his possession. Now she says based in Matzia Nois Miyodei. Based in is taking away from him and returning it to the Nigba. Kru Goyve. When he collects, now who's the he we're going to talk about soon, Goyves HaKerem and Chosim Shabbatim, he collects the actual value. Wait, we're going to see in a second who's collecting. He collects the keren, the actual value of the field, even from the Chosim Shabbatim, or Shvach Goyvim and Chosim Menecharin, and he collects the Shvach from Menecharin. Now we have to ask, Hei Chidami. So Rava says, what kind of case are we talking about in this Braisa? Ilei Mekidikotani. Are you taking the Braisa at face value that it's talking about the field is being taken away from the Gazlan and the Gazlan is now looking for reimbursement? Gazlan and Mangavi, who is the Gazlan getting reimbursement from? Evidently, we're talking about there was Gzela involved, but Yotz Metachas Yodah doesn't mean it's being taken away from the Gazlan. It means it's being taken away from the person the Gazlan sold it to. And he's going to get reimbursed now. So we're saying that he gets reimbursed for the keren, even from the chosim shabadim, and for the shvach, which again we assume he's collecting from the gazlan, from only from the chosim neferin. But he's collecting the shvach.
The lokeach
is collecting the shvach from the gazlan. Amalei, sort of Nachman tells him, look, lav terutzi kamatautas. As it is, you have to end for the braisa. You have to change the wording of it a little bit to say we're not talking about the gazlan himself because he's not getting reimbursed. That it's talking about the person the gazlan sold to. Tritznami b'alchoy. Fine. So in that case, then you may as well instead change the wording of the braisa in a different way and say that there's a mistake in the braisa. It's not talking about a case of stealing, not harisha gazel, but rather that somebody sold a field to somebody else and it was taken away by a b'alchoy. Where then there is definitely shvach to talk about. So not necessarily is that braisa, that there's obviously a mistake somewhere in that braisa. As it is, you can't use it as a proof against
it. So the outcome is that...
We haven't come to an outcome.
To the
rivers. Oh, so with regard, well, we're still in the middle of trying to see. I mean, Rav Nachman is saying that it's a problem of rivers to get reimbursed for the shvach from the Gazlan. We haven't yet reached the point of where we can fully prove him or slug him up. We'll continue with the discussion tomorrow. That's the shame.
Okay, so that's tomorrow.
So tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock.